Everybody leaving, or what's happening? Jeszcze Polska nie zginęła. I want to say thank you for everything that you've done. You have expressed some very gracious hospitality to me and to these other preachers and to their families. And I want to say thank you. I will not soon forget the royal treatment that you gave me here. And I look forward to coming back in September and hearing Brother Eubanks and Brother Jim White. And I do get very refreshed when I come to this ministry. And thank you so much. I have seen some old friends and made some new ones. And I just thank the Lord for what God is doing here. I hope I see you in heaven first before September, but may the Lord have His will. Amen. My wife again sends her her best wishes to you, and hopefully she can come with me next September. I'd love to have her come. Just again, thank you for your gracious hospitality to us. Thank you, Dr. Ruckman, for opening your home, the Donovan for opening your home. And again, for all the good friends that God has given me in this ministry. Open your Bibles to Luke chapter 15. Luke chapter 15, I'll be reading what is a very well-known text. I appreciate the message Brother Lentz gave the other day on this text. Look at verse 11 with me of Luke 15. And he said, "A certain man had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, 'Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me.' And he divided unto them his living. Not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. When he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in the land and began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. When he came to himself, he said, 'How many hired servants of my father's have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will rise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants.' And he arose and came to his father. When he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son.' But the father said unto his servants, 'Bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. And bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' And they began to be merry." I'm going to ask Brother Gary Ritz to ask the Lord's blessings on this message. I said this is a very popular portion of Scripture. Many, many illustrations are preached from this text. Many practical lessons are learned here. Most preaching is done about the wayward son. Maybe you've heard some messages concerning the son that remained home. A lot of preaching is about the father. And so many times we hear that he is a picture of God the Father, staying home, being faithful, looking for that wandering son that is to return home, hopefully someday. As God does, looking for you when you wander away from His will, wander away from the guidance of His Holy Spirit. His Father is waiting for you to come home and say, "Dad, I'm sorry." The Bible says that we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. What a great example for us. What an encouragement for us. But I ask that you consider something a little different today. Look with me in verse 20. The Bible says, "And he arose and came to his father." But I ask this. What if the son was coming up to the doorway of the house, and as he was approaching the home that he knew for so many years and was away from for a while, he noticed the walkway was unkept. Perhaps he looked at that white picket fence that was always neat and clean and the grass trimmed around as he noticed that the fence was in disarray and perhaps falling apart. Perhaps the front gate that was always functioning and always a sign of welcoming home was on its side. And maybe he looked at the house and the windows were broken and the barn in back of the house was abandoned. And as he got closer to the house, he noticed a sign laying in the deep grass. He picked it up and he cleared the mud and the dirt from it, and it said, "For sale." What if the father wouldn't have been home? What if the father was not there to see the son return? What if the father was discouraged? You know, I read this text, and I've read it so many times, and you have too. "I see no wife. I see no mom." Perhaps they had a falling out, and she left years ago. Maybe she died, and dad was left to minister to these two boys. And maybe he was discouraged to the point of despondency. What if he was just so weary from doing well? What if he couldn't go through the fire anymore that Brother Strobel preached on this morning? And he wasn't encouraged and couldn't be encouraged anymore by hearing a message like we heard. What if he was tired of waiting? And what if he just said one day, "Well, my youngest is gone and I'm tired of being hurt. I'm going to sell the farm. I'm going to sell the farm." What if the straying son, the prodigal son, returned home only to see that the farm had been sold? What if you give up the church that God's given you? If I have a title to a message, and I don't title my messages very often, it would be this: don't sell the farm. Don't sell the ministry. Don't give up. Don't throw the towel in. I don't know why God put this on my heart, but ever since I knew I was going to come and preach here, God's put this on my heart to preach it to you. And as I preach my other messages, I want to say to you today, I want to help you. I want to be a help to you. What would happen, preacher, if you sell the farm? What's going to happen, missionary, if you throw the towel in? What's going to happen if you're involved in some ministry where there's some people depending on you? You say, "Well, that won't happen to me." You see, it doesn't go that way. I've got people that are with me and people that are supporting me and people are encouraging me. And, you know, we just don't get down to that level. We're the higher spiritual level, and I don't ever foresee myself. I'm not that type to fall. I'm not that type to have that happen to me. I hope you're right. But you know, the longer I've been in the ministry, the more I see those doors that open that look awful attractive to go the other way. Somebody says, "Well, what would you do? Would you go work back at Kodak?" It's a wonderful thing. Kodak wouldn't take me back. Kodak won't take anybody back. So I'm kind of between a rock and a hard place. And that's a good place to be in God's work. But I'd lie to you right now if I said I never wanted to quit. There's been times I've wanted to throw in the towel. But God's encouraged me not to sell the farm. And I encourage you today, don't sell it. Pastor, don't sell that farm, because maybe those people that have strayed away and been away for a month or a year or 10 years might come back someday. And what they need to see is that church is still in operation. The gospel is still being preached. The song of Zion is still being proclaimed. Let me show you some things this evening. Look at Acts chapter 4. I want to be a help to you. I want to be an encouragement to you. See, I don't think anybody here wants to sell the farm. You know, there's a song that we sing. It's called Hold the Fort, For I Am Coming. And I love singing that song, don't you? There's a part of that song that says, Mighty men around us falling, courage almost gone. Look with me in Acts chapter 4, in verse number 31. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul, and neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own. But they had all things common. He's a pretty good church here. And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Neither was there any among them that lacked. For as many as were possessors of lands or houses sold them and brought the prices of the things that were sold, and laid them down at the apostles' feet, and the distribution was made unto every man according as he had need. And Joseph, who by the apostles was surnamed Barnabas, which is being interpreted the son of consolation, a Levite in the country of Cyprus, having land, sold it, brought the money, and laid it at the apostles' feet. If you sell the farm, where will they go to church? If you sell the farm, where will they go to church? I was encouraged the other day when Dr. Ruckman asked all the pastors and those that were in ministry to stand up. And I was so encouraged by seeing a large number of men here that are doing the work. But you know what? Listen to me. We are in the minority. We are in the minority. There aren't many churches like you have here. There aren't many churches like the one that Brother Lentz pastors or Brother Strobel preaches at. There aren't many. I talked to Brother Sam Gipp, and he comes to our church every once in a while, and I'm sure Brother Spurgeon would say this same thing, and Brother Eubanks, as they go in their various circuits around the country and even around the world, that when they go back to some churches change, and many not for the better, but the standards fall. The standards go down. Some churches are teaching error today. Brethren, we're in the minority. Where will they get saved if you sell the farm and let the church go? Let me be an encouragement to you today. I heard somebody once say this, the main thing is to keep the main thing the main thing. Let me say that again. The main thing is to keep the main thing the main thing. You say, well, this is happening here and that place is getting big, and well, I should be like that, and maybe I ought to just trade some things in and just change my standard just a little bit, just that music just a little bit, and maybe just back off on this preaching a little bit. Oh, don't do it. Don't sell the farm. Don't sell the farm. Listen, you and God are a majority. The truth is, God's the majority. You just hang on to God, and you do what God tells you to do. If you sell the farm, where will they go? Look in Galatians 6. Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6. And in Galatians 6, verse number 1. Galatians 6:1. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. If you sell the farm, where will the saints get rest? Listen to me. Listen to me. If you sell the farm, where will the saints get rest? I get a blessing in our church. Our people will gather together and somebody will pray and say, Lord, thank you for this midweek oasis. Thank you for this Sunday night service that we can come and be away from the world. Thank you that we can come and hear the Word of God preached and get away from the world, the flesh, the devil. Boy, I'm learning getting away from even some of the other brethren coming to church. You know, we're an unusual church. I see people standing in line to get in this church. Sometimes they're standing in line to get out of our church. But listen, you sell the farm, the church closes, where are they going to get rest? Where are they going to get rest? Where are you going to be able to bear one another's burdens? How are you going to be able to exhort one another? I have people call me and say, hey, you're going to see Dr. Ruckman? Why don't you, when are you going to have Dr. Ruckman back at the church? And I said, I've got an open invitation. I don't know. Well, if you ever get him, would you please call me? I'm coming. I said, all right. I said, by the way, where do you go to church? Oh, we don't go to church. So you're staying home this whole time and all you want to do is just come when he's there. You're not part of a church. They're not helping anybody. They're not exhorting anybody. They're not bearing anybody else's burdens. They're not coming to church where someone says, I have this need or I have this situation in my life. I need this prayer answered. Would you please pray? Nobody to pray with or nobody to cry with. And that's what this church is all about. That's what the local church is all about. Just plain being there for one another. Exhorting one another. You can't exhort one another staying at home. You can't even exhort one another if you get on the telephone. You can't do it, and God designed a local church for you to do that in. It's a very, very valuable situation you have here. You know, Jesus Christ died for the church. Don't sell the farm. Don't sell what he's given you here. Look at Matthew chapter 28. Matthew 28. In Matthew 28, look with me in verse 19. Matthew 28:19. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Listen, if you sell the farm, if you give up, if you throw in the towel, where will they be sent from? Where will they be sent from? We've got some young men in our church, and God, I believe, has called them into the pastorate, called them into the mission field. The doors are closed. Where will they be sent from? In this church, where will the Sidoris be sent from? Where will the Whites be sent from? Or the students that you have here, where will they be sent from? It's a sad case when churches close. What happens to those that are called in that ministry? And you might not be concerned with it, but it's happening every day. There's casualties every day when the farms are sold, when people are discouraged to the point to close the doors of their church. It's It's a local church that God would have us to support. And you know what? I get a blessing out of getting these prayer cards from some of these men. But you know, every time I get a prayer card like this, you know what's attached to it? Again, attached to it is a church that goes along supporting them. Here's the Welsh family. Well, I like to have them in my church. Double the attendance, just about. Sent by Gay Lee and Baptist Church in Michigan. Pray for Larry Daniel, sent through Lakeside Baptist Church. Praise the Lord. Churches support the Donath family, encouraging local church growth. Old Time Baptist Church, Hamburg, New York. You ought to be real careful if somebody comes to you and say, hey, would you support me? Would you be part of my ministry? Would you? Here I'm in the street ministry. I'm doing. Where do you go to church? I just don't seem to get along with Pastor so-and-so or Brother so-and-so. And you better be careful. They better be part of the local church. And you know what? You stay in the local church and God will call you and God will use you. You find yourself independent of a church, you better be real careful. I appreciate the responsibility God gives us in the local church. Got some young men. I mean, I just told you a while ago we had 21 of our young adults go to be with Brother Raymond Jones in Mexico. We were concerned with some of those that went. They just didn't seem to be those that would be on fire for God. They came back on fire for God. Now we've got a greater responsibility. What are we going to do? That we would cater to them and say, what can we do to have you more and more and more and more involved in the Word of God, more involved in the work of God? It's a responsibility. What happens to those young? What happens to those that are called if you sell the farm? If you sell the farm. Look with me in Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2, look with me in verse number 1. Titus 2, verse number 1, but speak thou the things which become sound doctrine, that the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, and patience. The aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Young men likewise exhort to be sober-minded. Listen, if you sell the farm, where can we raise our families? Let me say that again. If you sell the farm, if you throw in the towel, if you give up the ministry, where will we be able to raise our families? Where will our young people see those examples that they need? I remember when I was going to First Bible Baptist Church in Rochester, New York, I was sitting about over there, about halfway up. And around the front here, there was a couple sitting there, and their name were Nugents, Dale Nugents and his wife. And my wife and I were just saved, and we came to church. For some reason, I kept looking at them. And every time Pastor Modlish had some kind of need, Brother Nugent stand up and say, I volunteer. Every time something needed to get done, Brother Nugent get up and say, well, I'm here to help. Every time there was some specific job that he could do, he was there. Remember, we went out on street ministry, and he was there. We went out on visitation, and he was there. And I just kept watching him. And the times he could, he took his wife, and the times he could, he took his family. And when there was something to say, he'd praise God, and I'd fellowship with him once in a while, and boy, he just praised the Lord every chance he had. Then he got in the ministry, and he started pastoring a church outside of Buffalo, New York. And then I started pastoring a church, and we became good friends, and One day I asked him to come to our church and preach. And before he came to the pulpit, I said, you know what I've been doing? I've been watching somebody all these years. I've been watching him for probably 5, 8 years. And Brother Dale, I used to sit back there and I'd watch you and I'd watch your family. And he didn't know that. Back when, after he finished preaching at our church, he called me the next day and he said, you know, when you said that, I broke in a cold sweat. Because I realized the responsibility I had and I didn't know it. You know where that happened? It happened in a church. It didn't happen in industry. It didn't happen on a ball field. It happened in a church, a place where we raise our families. And I was looking, as a brand new Christian, I was looking for an example for my family. And I found a good one, and I followed him. And I saw that he loved the Lord and believed the book. But Brother Dale said, you know what? What if I would have slipped up? What if I would have said something in this mouth that didn't give honor and glory to the Lord? I would have said something that hurt the cause for Christ. Hey, somebody might be watching you. See, nobody watched me. Nobody thought anybody, Brother Nugent, anybody was watching him. But they were. You know what we are around here, brethren? We're examples. Every single one of us is an example. Every single one of you, listen, is carrying around some kind of a banner. And on that banner says what you believe and what you stand for and what's in your heart and what you want to do for God. You say, I'm not doing that. Yes, yes, you are. It's called your life. It's called how you portray yourselves to others. I remember we had a Bible study at our home, and this couple came in. We invited this couple to come in, and this woman came in with her husband. And brethren, she wore a pair of slacks that were about the color of this microphone here. And she wore a blouse that was about the color of this microphone here. And she wore a pair of shoes about the color of this microphone over here. And she had hair about the color of this microphone right here. And she's over there, I mean, just very amusing. And she's very faithful to our Bible studies, and she got saved. The Lord started doing the work, and then she came to me, and she says, Pastor, she says, I believe God's talking to me about my modesty. I said, well, that's a good idea. Praise the Lord. And you know what you know how the Holy Spirit works? He works from the inside out. If I would have gone to her and said, hey, you better change colors here or something. How about a blue? Probably wouldn't have done the job, but the Holy Spirit did it. Before you know it, the hair was cut and the blouse changed styles and the slacks became a long dress. And she said, I need to practice modesty. And the hair got long. And the hair got longer. And the skirts got longer. And the hair got grayer. And the hair got unkept. And she came to me a while later and she said, is this all right? I said, you better talk to my wife. And she says, well, aren't I modest now? And I said, my wife came and she said, what should I tell her? I said, you tell her that modesty is where you do not attract attention. Can I say that again? Modesty is where you do not attract attention. Now, if you're out there looking like some kind of a hussy and all different kinds of colors, and well, you're attracting attention. But if you look like something that, you know, came into church with little Abner, You might be attracting attention too. Like one of our preachers said, hey, if the barn needs painting, then paint it. But you know where you learn things like that? In the local church, in the church, from the preaching. You learn things like that from Sunday school. You learn things like that in the youth ministry. Good examples. And if you sell the farm, where are we going to raise our families? How are we going to do it? Where are they going to learn from? So I don't need this kind of message. You probably don't need this message. But maybe somebody over there is ready to throw in the towel. Somebody over there. Somebody back there says, this is it. After tonight, I'm out of here. You don't know. You don't know. Don't sell it. Where are we going to raise our kids? Go to Acts 13. Oh, look at this. Go to Galatians chapter 1. Galatians 1. I just want to give you what's on my heart. Galatians 1, look at verse 6. I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another gospel, but there be some that trouble you and pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that which ye have received, let him be accursed. Listen, if you sell the farm, how are they going to hear the word of God? I said, if you sell the farm, if you close the church, if you throw in the towel, if you give up your ministry, where will they hear the word of God? You say, television. In Rochester, I don't know how it is over here, but we have two stations on cable, and one of them is the Catholic station with some nun that's got some miraculous powers. I think one of her powers is she's staying alive. And then the next station over is the Christian station. And the Christian station is some... And I can't tell you what's on it. I don't watch it. When I flip through it, they've got this beautiful setting. This beautiful furniture. And they're just sitting there in these riches. And this woman's got this haystack of hair. And her eyebrows are just... I really do believe. I think Jimmy Hoffa's in there. They dug that up. And I say to my people, you're looking at the Christian station. It's got nothing to do with our church. It's got absolutely nothing to do with Walker Bible Baptist Church. And people say, well, that's the Catholic station there. And now let me turn to the Christian station, which is like Walker or some other Bible. It's nothing to do with our church. And some people say, well, I'm going to close the church. I'm going to quit the church. I'm going to give up that ministry. And I can watch television now. You're a fool. Where are they going to hear the gospel? Where are they going to hear it? Listen, you hear church splits. Oh, there's a problem here, and the pastor, he quits. You know what? You know what a church split will do? You say, well, half go here and half go there. No. You know what will happen? Some will go with one leader and some will go with another leader. And listen to this. Then some become so disenchanted with religion and gospel and preaching and Bible and church, they give up altogether and they go home and they sit there and never darken the doors of the church again. Oh, you knock on some doors and talk to some people and say, how about coming to church? Oh, no, not me. When was the last time you've been to church? Oh, probably 30 years. What happened? And most of them forgot why they're not coming to church, because they have that bitterness. They have that bitterness. Be careful. You know what I learned, and I might have mentioned this to you before, I learned this from Dr. Ruckman. It takes a pastor, listen to this. It takes a pastor 5, 8, maybe 10 years to figure out how the devil works in your ministry. Yeah. You know there's a devil? There's a devil, and he works in the ministry, and he attacks you. And you know what some young pastors will do and some young preachers will do, and maybe even missionaries will be out there, and they're there for a year or 2 years, and it just not seem to be going like it's going back at the home church, so they throw in the towel, and they want to go to Greener Grass Baptist Church. And then they go to Greener Grass Baptist Church, and they've been there for 2 years or 3 years, and it's not working out here either, so I better go. And it's just, these attacks, I just can't handle. God obviously doesn't want me here. No, stick around and find out what the devil's doing. And I'll tell you, I have a big day. I have a good turnout and visitors. I always say, watch out. Oh, no, listen, Pastor, we had 6 visitors last week and somebody got saved. Now we can relax. On the contrary, now you get down on your knees. Because here come the attacks. So, you're doing a great job here. We're putting on a new roof, and we're getting a new garbage dumpster. Hey, we've arrived. Now that's when the attacks start coming. Something good happens. Look around. He's there. Be careful. Be ready. Where are they going to learn the Word of God? You don't teach it to them. You got that real thin hymnal there, that blue one? Look at page 72. You see that picture in there? You know that's a picture of? That's a picture of somebody dipping into the garbage can of this world. See that? And behind him is standing the Lord Jesus Christ. What's he got in his hand? The Word of God. I don't know how many of you remember this, but when I was here a long time ago, I looked at that. And I took that hymnal and I stole it. I went home to Rochester and I made a copy of it. And there it is, still carried in my Bible. And you people are so gracious. I told you this the last time. A dear brother gave me the original of that. Took it back home on a plane, this big roll. That's such a reminder to me that there's a place you can only learn the Word of God when you're with God's people in God's church. Encouraged by God's man. Because if you don't, you're going to be dipping into the garbage can of this world. And you know what? Some of you are doing that right now, and you're saying, hey, I'm getting away with it. And you're not. You're not. Don't let it happen. You sell the farm, how are they going to hear the Word of God? How are they going to hear that there's false religions out there? How are they going to hear the truth of about the Islamic religion, and this is the fastest growing, that it must be the right. No, it's not. No, it's not. Listen, you must realize the impact of this church far beyond your personal desires. And stop being selfish. You can't sell the farm. If you do, where will they go? You can't sell the farm. If you do, where will the saints get their rest? You can't sell the farm. If you do, where will they be sent from? You can't sell the farm. If you do, where are we going to get the examples to raise our families? You can't sell the farm, because if you do, where are they going to hear the Word of God? I appreciate Brother Strobel's message this morning about being in the fire. And you know what? I heard that message when he preached it one time. I was really in the fire. But before I heard it preached, I was ready to sell the farm. You know what happened? I quit Eastman Kodak and I went full-time in the ministry. Oh, it was a blessing. Hey, I'm doing God's work full-time. Before that, I was working for Eastman Kodak, raising a family and pastoring a church. Everything was suffering. So I had to make a decision. I quit Kodak. I was in the ministry full-time for 2 weeks. I thought I was in heaven. Doing God's work. What a blessing. Being in God's house with God's people. Reading God's word and studying and preaching like I'm supposed to. Praise the Lord. Then I was on a Monday. My wife came to my office. She says, I got some bad news for you. I said, what is it? What's wrong? Things are great in the ministry. She handed me a blue envelope. It looked kind of legal. You say, did your wife divorce you? No. She stuck with me. She stuck with me through a lawsuit that was for $3.5 million. You see, I had a saint of God in church that I led to the Lord. I led her mother to the Lord, led her son to the Lord, found her lost daughter that had strayed away years ago and brought her back home, led her to the Lord. They were all coming to church and everything was doing good. Then the young son decided to leave the fold. He ran out and started drinking. He was gone for about a year. We got him back and we put him into some deliverance farm. He was doing great. He came out, got on drugs, went berserk. Make a long story short, he got into an automobile accident being drunk one night and got killed. That didn't set well with Mom. And what she did is she called me and she said, you'll never preach again. I'm suing you. See, how could she get any kind of substance? Brethren, the battle lasted for 7 years, 7 months, and 6 days. I had to go through depositions. We had to fight with the insurance companies because they didn't want to back us up. We took our insurance company to court and we won the case and they appealed. We won the next case. But all that means is you're winning a case so you can go to court. And for all that time, I kept hearing in the back of my mind, you're never going to preach again. I said, you know what I'll do? Save embarrassment. I just throw in the towel. Maybe I'll just sell the farm. It was on a Saturday afternoon. I got a telephone call from one of my members. He says, Pastor, are you doing anything? I said, no. Pastors don't do anything. I'm just figuring out. I don't know if I should use a 9mm or 22 or... He says, listen, I got a neighbor that's just a real reprobate and he's lost. I said, okay. He says, well, he's at the hospital and he's having some crazy tests and they're real worried. And I think he would be open to the gospel. What do you think? Yeah, I'd love to go. I'd love to go. I'm ready to sell the farm, brethren. So I get in the car, I take my Bible, and I'm bitter all the way out there. Men, you know how those things work. Go and see somebody. My question was, why didn't you witness to him? He's your uncle. He's your friend. Why do I have to do it? I'm selling the farm. So I'm driving and I'm bitter and nasty and I think I was even speeding. I get to the hospital. I find out which room he's in. I go upstairs to his floor. And his room door is open. I walk in. I say, hey, Mr. Smith, my name is Jim Kopachewski. I'm from the Walker Bible Baptist Church. He says, oh, stop right now. We're Catholic. I says, that's wonderful. I was a Catholic too. And his wife says, "You don't understand. We're Catholic and we don't want anything to do with you." I says, "I know, but so-and-so asked me to come and I hear you're ill. We're doing fine. We don't need you." I said, "Listen, I just want to tell you about the Lord Jesus Christ." He says, "You don't understand, do you?" And I says to myself, for a sick guy, this guy's pretty nasty. Aren't you supposed to be on your deathbed or something? Kind of wanted to help him get there, you know. "No, get out of here. We don't have time for this. We're Catholics." And, "Oh, yeah, I'd like to have what you have, pal." And I said, "I'll tell you what. I'll leave if I can pray first." He says, "All right, but make it fast." So I said, "Dear Lord, you know why I'm here. I wanted to give this man the gospel. I wanted to tell him that you died on the cross for him. And he can get out of here." And that was his wife. He's yelling at me, she's yelling at me. I forget this. If I ever knew it was time to sell the farm, it's now. I'm walking down the hallway there, and I hear somebody, "Hey, mister, you a preacher?" "Hey, mister, you a preacher? Is that you, God, or is this?" I said, "Lord, you know the mood I'm in. I'm going to the realtors. I'm going to sell the farm. Hey, mister, are you a preacher?" There's a room over here, and I open, look at the door's wide open, and I stick my head in there, and I think there's somebody on the bed. I could see these sheets, and I went in. I said, "Yeah?" He said, "Mister, are you a preacher?" "Yes." He says, "My name's Herbie." "Yeah, Herbie, what is it? Was I talking too loud?" "You know that thing you wanted to tell that guy?" "Yeah." "You think you could tell me?" I says, "Yeah, Herbie, I guess I could tell you." So I went over next to Herbie, and he was all hooked up with all kinds of hoses and gizmos and beepers. And I grabbed Herbie's hand, and I said, "Herbie, the Bible says you're a sinner." "Oh, yeah." "The Bible says because you're a sinner, you don't belong in heaven, because God is holy and you're unholy." "Oh, I don't have any problem with that." In about 10 or 12 minutes, Herbie bowed his head and asked Jesus to save him. I kissed him on the top of the head because I wanted to show him some honor. I walked out of that room, I got to my car, and I was going to turn the radio on, and the Lord said, "Hey, are you still going to sell the farm?" "Me? No, I'm not going to sell the farm. Because I don't know how many more Herbies are out there. Now, they might not be in my church. They might not be in my neighborhood. They might not even be in my community. But if I throw the towel in, I'll never be able to minister to them the way I should." Can I encourage you tonight? Pastor, missionary, associate, teacher, worker, bus driver, don't sell a farm. Don't even make it an option. The only way I'm going to get out of the ministry is if I die right here, and that's up to God, or if that horn blows and he calls me home. Resign yourself to the fact you're going to stick to it. You know what you can do? You can go up to your pastor. "My pastor's so alive. I mean, he's just so energetic. I mean, there's no way he'd ever..." Why don't you just go up to him and say, "Pastor, I'm praying for you that you don't sell the farm. Because you think about it. Things get rough. And that fire comes around. And that door looks awful big. And the devil goes, don't you sell it. What if the prodigal son would have come home, seeing how wicked things were in the world? He was tired of feeding the pigs. And he got home, and there would have been nobody there. What if those people finally, at one time or another, the ones that got those gospel tracts, the ones that read that bumper sticker, show up at your place, and it's closed? Don't let it happen. Father, you know the impact of this message. Lord, I just wanted to do what you wanted me to do. I don't know if I did it justice, but you know my heart. I pray you bless what's been preached. I pray you bless each and every ministry that's represented here. And Lord, you'd encourage the saints, encourage the pastors, encourage the missionaries, encourage those that are working in your work, not to give up, not to sell the farm. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen, brother. Amen. How many preachers here have ever felt like quitting? Would you stand up? All right. Now, she's not just talking to the wall tonight. Thank you. I quit 3 times. I resigned. They said that fellow isn't fit for them.